Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about relates to changing the world of work so that all organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host. I'm with Cody Thompson, my co-partner here, my Robin to my Batman, or maybe I'm the Robin and you're the Batman. Who knows?
No, that can't be true. I'll go with Robin. Robin works for me.
I had an older brother when I was a kid, so I was always Robin, not Batman. And we in the room here, not on mic, we've got Tracy Noble, our producer, the adult supervision in the room. We're going to be talking about something today. We haven't really gone through and outlined everything we want to talk about, but we're passionate about this. We know there's a lot there. And we're calling today's episode what, Cody?
Burn the resume.
Right. And when people read that, it might be, I hope we really get that accent mark there because it's a French word. Doesn't look like burn the resume. That's not going to make any sense. Burn the resume. And what we're going to talk about today for a variety of reasons is people that are looking for jobs, people that are hiring.
Right.
And actually people that are thinking about letting someone go. And we're in the midst of May in the coronavirus era of the shutdown. We're actually coming back. We're at work now. And man, we're hoping everything opens up and people go out and get aggressive about purchasing and getting their businesses back online.
That's right.
We gotta win this battle, win this war. So we're all for that. But a lot of people right now are either thinking about getting back to work and hiring more people because business is going to go fast, or they're like, there is that one person or two people that we might have to let go. And we want to give them a way of thinking about this that is very intentional and that leaves them better for having made the right decision about who to hire or who to let go.
Absolutely.
And for those of you that are out there looking for jobs, hey, this is May. A lot of college students are looking for jobs. We want to give them a sense of what you really need to be and how to present yourself. Or if you're a person that lost your job during this time, there's 30 million Americans that are going to be coming back onto to the workforce. Here's what you need to focus on in terms of your behaviors and how you can let people know that you can embrace those three behaviors, because that's really what people are going to be looking for.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what got us talking about this is the unemployment rate being as high as it's ever been. Graduates coming out of school, you've been talking to graduates and thinking about like what is going to be the differentiator as people start to begin to apply for work after they might have lost their jobs during this time. Or like you mentioned, people who are looking to hire or fire. And we've always had this model around this ideal team player, but it seems even increasingly relevant in this time because as companies look to say, we're going to rebuild here, who are the type of people that are going to help them thrive and strive to do better in the midst of emerging from this? And it has very little to do with the resume. That's why we're saying burn the resume.
Absolutely. And we hope this comes roaring back, but we hope also in the process of that, that people do an even better job of selecting the right people, and people that are applying for jobs do a better job of preparing themselves and presenting themselves accurately.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about, basically it comes from the book, The Ideal Team Player. Our second podcast that we ever did last summer, right, Cody, was about this kind of stuff.
40 or so podcasts ago, we talked about this.
Yeah. Right. And so really what it comes down to is the three principles in the ideal team player that makes someone an ideal team player and an ideal employee, which is you got to be humble. We're going to talk about that. You got to be hungry. You got to be smart. Those are the three things that if you're looking for a new employee, more than any technical skill they have, those three things are going to make them a great fit. If you're thinking about letting somebody go and you got five employees and you're thinking about which one of these people do I let go, use that model, humble, hungry, and smart. And the person who's lacking the most in one of those areas, that's probably the right call.
Right. And you know, you said something in a TED talk that we've talked about on here. You did a TEDx on this exact thing.
Yeah.
And even made the case that like the world is just increasingly team oriented.
Right.
So these are the characteristics of a team player. The companies right now that are looking to emerge from the stronger, or like you said, trying to figure out who to hire and fire, they need some guardrails to figure out like who is it that's going to help us survive this thing, or who's going to help us emerge stronger. And the reality is at the end of the day, rather than the most intellectual person or the person that graduated from the best schools or has the most expertise, we're finding out in the midst of crisis that people who are humble, hungry, and smart are the ones that are the star contributors.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's even in things like medicine. I mean, obviously, you can't hire somebody. You're humble, hungry, and smart, but you don't have a medical degree. You're not going to be a brain surgeon,
right,
or fly an airplane. But even in jobs that require great technical knowledge, what we're finding is plenty of people meet those needs, but you got to find the one who actually you want to work with, who's going to make the people around them better, that people are going to come to work and be glad they're there. And even if you're a doctor or an airline pilot or an accountant or a lawyer, knowing that a person is humble, hungry, and smart makes all the difference between them really adding a lot of value to your organization or causing a lot of problems.
Right. And I love the idea of burning the resumes, because in an applicant pool now that is as vast as you've ever seen,
right,
there has to be a differentiator underneath just the criteria that's on the front of the resume. You know, like, there has to be a fit factor culturally. And if people who are humble, hungry, and smart can find their way across the desk during the interview, people have to figure out how to learn whether this person meets those criteria.
Let's focus first on employers.
Great.
People that are looking to hire somebody, or in a case when they have to let somebody go, how to use this. How do you find, the question is, and we're just going to have a conversation about this. Sometimes when we're doing these podcasts, it feels like we're doing a presentation,
right,
but really we're exploring this stuff together. What's the best advice we can give a hiring manager or a small business owner or a company for finding the right people in the process of interviewing and just networking to find good people? And humble is, by the way, the most important. Mm-hmm. It is the most fundamentally necessary of all the values. Because if a person is not humble, their hard work and their attitude about others is not going to play out. Hey, you know what I just realized? We need to define humble, hungry, smart better.
But let's get into it a little
because
more.
Those are three words that everybody thinks they know.
Right. Yeah. There's some nuance there.
Yeah. So when we talk about humility, really, it's life isn't about you. It's not arrogant or egotistical. Mm-hmm. Humble people don't think that they're all that. Okay. And we know what a non-humble person looks like and what a pain that is. Somebody who's braggy and self-centered and always calling attention to themselves. And so that's something we just have to avoid. Hiring people like that is poison in an environment. I don't care if they have the flashiest resume and they've done everything you need them to do. Dealing with arrogance is a non-starter.
And we see a lot of different people out there use different words like ego is a team killer. But when you work on a team with someone who doesn't have an appropriate idea of their skills and talents that they bring to the table, if they're overemphasizing that, it destroys the entire team.
Yeah. One of the worst things for me when I manage somebody is having to convince them that they're not quite as good as they think they are.
Yeah, that's a horrible conversation.
I hate that. Now, what's interesting, though, is the flip side of that is actually a violation of humility. And that is if somebody thinks less of themselves than they should. Mm-hmm. They don't vouch for their own opinion. They don't think that they're like, well, I'm not important. I don't really do a good job. That's a problem, too. But I would much rather have that violation of humility because I love building people up. Having to bring people down. You know, nobody wants to go to a meeting and say, hey, you're not that good. It's much better to go to a meeting and say, hey, you can do much more than right. you thought you
Speak
could.
Speak up more.
Exactly.
Every time you contribute, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Right. So humility is critical. I don't care if you're a running back on a football team, or if you're a surgeon, or if you're a CEO, or if you're a bank teller. Hiring people that are humble is one of the most important things you can do, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. The second one is hungry. And again, none of these are very difficult to understand, but sometimes there's nuances that people don't understand. And hungry just means a really strong work ethic. Somebody who wants to do more. You tell them to do 10, they do 12.
Right.
You say, this is the standard. They go, let's raise that standard.
Well, I think a lot of times people look to the resume to try to determine whether a person's hungry and by their achievements or what they've put on there in terms of their accolades. And really what it is just this simple desire to do more. And it doesn't matter if you're a brain surgeon or a garbage truck driver, you know, like if you're out there and eager to look around corners and help other people and jump into projects that aren't your own, that's a good indication of a hungry person.
Exactly. Now, it's not a workaholic.
Right.
That's an overextension of hunger. That's somebody who defines themselves just by work. In fact, people would say, well, I'll take a workaholic. But I don't think you actually want to do that. I think if a person doesn't have balance, their workaholism is probably a function of something else that's missing in their life that's going to roll back on you at some point. So I think you want people with a really strong work ethic, but that has the proper balance in life as well. And the last thing is smart. Now, this is the one that needs the most definition because it's not about intellectual smarts. It's about interpersonal smarts. It's EQ over IQ. It's how you work with other people. Do you know how to read a room? Do you know how to understand the appropriate thing to say at the right moment? Or are you constantly putting your foot in your mouth or stepping in it, or pick your proper analogy?
Right. And this one is impossible to put on a resume, to figure out on a resume, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, until you're sitting across the table from someone, having, and like you say, taking them outside of even this context to figure out how they interact with other people, there's almost no way of knowing. And so blindly going through a list of resumes to see which experience match your criteria for the job is just not the way to find a person who's
emotionally intelligent. A resume is probably the, how do I get them over the lowest bar possible?
Right.
In other words, do they have skills in the general area? But it tells you so little. Get people into your office and spend time with them. And that's what we should talk about right now, is how can you tell if somebody's humble, hungry, and smart when they're sitting across the table from you? And when it comes to humility, one of the most important things is, how do they talk about themselves? And if it's I, what that probably means is either they never work with other people, which is a red flag, or they attribute their own success to themselves and not to others.
Right.
And I'm not trying to say you should count the number of I's versus we's, but I want to hear somebody talk about we a lot. Also, one of the critical things on humility, Cody, is I want to ask people, tell me what your biggest weakness is. And I always say, I don't want to hear that answer. Like
I'm the just, canned
I,
one, right?
Exactly. Well, I have high standards and I just work too hard, or I, you know, I want to hear, and I talked to a college kid the other day and I asked him that question. He gave me the most generic thing. It's like, oh my gosh, no, just, I want to say this. If I asked your mother, like, what should you change about yourself and that you would agree, I want to know what that is. Because a humble person could say, well, the truth is I struggle in this area.
Yeah.
And I would much rather hire somebody who struggles in an area and can admit it, so I can call them on it, than somebody is incapable of admitting something.
Yeah. And oftentimes, like, we practice interviews, right, to try to put our best foot forward. And so many people, it kind of takes dozens of questions to break down those, you know, those preconceived answers that they brought to the table with them. But like you said, the sharing credit thing is one. I remember when I interviewed here, you asked me about some of the things I was most proud of in my career up to this point. And now I think about that when we ask other people we've interviewed, but as people even talk about how they got to where they are, do they mention their colleagues? Do they mention the team that they worked on? Do they just talk about their own contribution? You know, those are some ways that you can sort of hone in on that as well.
Yeah. You know, when you talk to an athlete and you see a quarterback who after the game, they says, oh, my offensive line blocked for me. And or the running back, you know, other people were blocking. I want to know that they're aware of those people.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and we're going to talk about this throughout, is you don't interview someone just sitting across the table. Mm-hmm. If you want to see if they're humble or hungry or smart is a good one. Get them out of the environment. Go do something that's a slightly uncomfortable. You know, go shopping with them. Take them to an environment where you actually see how they deal with people. Because it's one thing for them to rehearse an answer. It's another thing to watch them standing at the counter at, well, I don't know what stores are open these days, Sears, Kmart, whatever else, buying underwear. You know what I mean? And see if they can handle that. See if they what they're like when you take them, you know, to your kid's soccer practice and how they set up cones. I mean, it's the craziest thing, but when we just interview people in traditional ways, we don't get to see those things.
Right.
So humility is by far the most important one. And the reason why is because, you know, the root of all sin is pride. Pride is a team killer. Ego is a team killer. So you got to make humility your first obstacle to overcome. They don't have that problem. Good. They're in the door. They're humble.
You know, the last thing I'll put on that point is that when we talk about your other model around building teams, cohesive teams, about vulnerability-based trust, the idea of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'm not as good as that as you, it's really rooted in humility. If you don't have a person who can engage in base level vulnerability, and typically people who are not humble can't do that, you can't build a team. And like you say over and over again, if even one person lacks the ability to be vulnerable, it can drastically alter the effectiveness and cohesiveness of that team.
Yeah, one ego person, one arrogant person is going to destroy a team far more than one lazy person or one socially awkward person.
Totally. Yeah.
I've never said it that way, ever heard it that way, Cody. That's great. That's exactly the right thing. So do that. Here's the last piece of advice I'd give thinking about this is ask somebody, hey, if I talk to your colleagues, would they say that you're a other-centered person, a humble person, or would they say you struggle with ego and arrogance? When you ask somebody to tell you what other people would say about them, they're much more likely to tell you the truth. I don't know if it's because they're secretly afraid that you're going to check on them, or if it just
call
feels
a reference.
Yeah. Or if they feel like it's just not right to put false words in somebody else's mouth. But I have been in interviews where I've asked people questions and I didn't feel good about their answer. And I finally said, what would your wife say? Or what would your best friend say? Mm. And they'll say, yeah, I struggle with this. Because you have every right in the world to figure out the truth. If you're interviewing, that's not tricking them. You want to know what the truth is. So do that on all of these things, but boy, we couldn't emphasize humility more. The next one is hunger.
Yeah.
This is probably the easiest one to figure out. And just ask people, like, tell me about times where you had to go above and beyond and what's hard work like for you. I like to ask people about things they did earlier in their life. Like, I don't care what their grades were in college. I'm like, did you work really hard in high school or in middle school? Like, are you a hard worker? Like on teams you've been on, did you practice extra or not?
Yeah, I'm smiling because I've seen way too many interviews and even talked to people whose first questions about the job are like, how much time off do I get? And can I cut out right at 5? You know, and that's probably a pretty good indication that they're low on the hunger scale.
It happened to us once years ago. We were trying to hire this woman for, and all she was concerned about was vacation and the time at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah. And that brings the entire team down in a way, in terms of when one person cuts out early, the burden that it creates for the rest of the team, it sours everyone, and it lowers the standard and lowers the bar around quality work and going the extra mile. And that's what every single person that we have here at the table group, they're incredibly hungry people. It makes you, when that's the bar, it makes you want to do more. You know, you'll have that night meeting. You'll stay extra. You'll check in on another team member to see if there's anything you can do to help. And that is an incredible thing for an organization to have.
Absolutely. No slackers. Right. Basically what we're saying is no braggers and no slackers.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's critical. It's so critical. And again, it's not a bad idea to say, hey, what would your colleagues say about you in terms of your work ethic? And you could say, would they say like you were one of the hardest workers in the department? And if they go, well, I don't know if I'd consider myself, you know, you want them to go, yeah, absolutely. I was always willing to do that. By the way, which brings up the whole idea of should you call people as references? And I think it's a great idea.
Right.
I realize today a lot of people say, well, I'm not at liberty to tell you that stuff. But I think if you call for a reference and you say, listen, I want to make sure that Fred here or Jan, I want to make sure that they're actually a good fit here. And we know, so I'm not asking you to tell me if you like them or not. I just want you to know if they're going to fit in well here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can disarm a manager and they'll tell you the truth, because if they don't tell you the truth, they're setting somebody up for a miserable job experience. The last one is smart. And this one is so huge. And the older I get and the more society changes, the more I think this is so critical. And that is, you have to have emotional intelligence, which sounds a little bit almost technical again. It's really just common sense around people.
Yeah.
You have some of the highest emotional intelligence of anybody I know, Cody. Well, How do you do that? Tell our listeners.
I train really hard. No, I do agree with you in the sense that being around people who lack emotional intelligence is hard in a team environment, because you're constantly cleaning up after them. You're constantly trying to tell another coworker that they didn't mean to say that, or generally she's a really nice person or he's a really nice
guy.
She means well. And that is just so hard to track down and constantly have to remind people about how they come across. When you have someone who, it really is simple. It's, do you know how your words and actions land with other people?
Right.
And if you don't, then, you know, that can be a problem.
Well, and what's funny about emotional intelligence, it sounds like that you're nice. And what it means is you're actually really intentional, mm-hmm. because you're really good at giving people difficult feedback, peers. But it's because of your emotional intelligence. You know what they're probably thinking, and you probably know how it's going to feel. Hmm. So you can say to them, hey, if this makes you feel this way, just understand that's not my intention. And so it's not just about, hey, everybody likes them. It means they don't create accidental forest fires in the office.
Right. And not even just thinking about it in the context of the team internally, but if you have customers or constituents that you serve, or
huge,
you know, if you're out in front of clients, having emotional intelligence is a huge thing. It's so we prevent ourselves from having to go cringe every time we think someone misspoke or misstepped or didn't understand the context of the correct behaviors in that context. With customers, I mean, over and over again, I think you see that people who have high emotional intelligence, it's not that they're great with people, and so they know how to encourage and invite, you know, great feedback and all of that. It's just across the board, this is a really important thing for people to have as a team member.
And so you have to really have all three of these, Cody. I mean, if you're missing, and that's what people don't realize. I like to talk about, if you're missing one of these in a serious way, if you're missing humility, but you're really hungry and you're really smart, we call that the skillful politician, because they're going to get their way, because they're going to be like, it's all about me, but I'm going to hide that really well, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be really ambitious. So not being humble, but being hungry and smart is super dangerous. That's the worst.
Right.
If a person's really humble and really smart, they're good with people and they're not ego-driven, they just don't like to work hard, we call those the lovable slacker, because they're great to be around, but you know they're just never going to get there. And that's a real problem on a team, although much better than the skillful politician. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, if a person's humble and they're really hardworking, but they're not emotionally intelligent, we call that the accidental mess maker, which we've just kind of talked about. You just got to clean up after them all the time. Really, you need to be 3 for 3. You need to be 3 for 3. Now, nobody's perfect all the time. So we're not trying to say they don't have any issues, but if somebody is egregiously lacking in any one of these three things, you're going to be doing so much work as their hiring manager, and it's going to be a tough sled.
And it's not just, I've even recently talked to an organization that made a hire and are now looking back going, oh man, I don't think this person has one or two of these qualities. You know, when you have a rubric or a criteria that you're bringing people through, and if they fit, they walk into a place where those goals, those behaviors are culturally present and they thrive. If they are an outlier, they feel like, man, I shouldn't have even got this job to begin with. And so it goes back to what we talked about is how do you differentiate if in a time like this where we're looking to hire the right people or having difficult conversations about who to let go, you have to have criteria like this that is beyond a resume. Otherwise, it's sort of a dart throw.
Oh my gosh. It feels so like you're making your way through the dark. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Now, by the way, some people are listening to this and go, man, I just hired some people. I think they're missing one of these. Am I through? Yeah, you should let them go. No, not at all. You go to people and you say, let's talk about humble, hungry, and smart. Mm-hmm. In fact, a great thing to do is to go to them, to go to everybody on your team and say, hey, everybody, which of these three things do you think is your weakest? Mm-hmm. And then as the manager go, sometimes I struggle with this one. And everybody can say, hey, this is my weakest. And then you go, okay, let's coach each other around that. If you see him saying something that doesn't seem humble, everybody call him out on it. Are you cool with that? And they're like, yeah, I don't want to be ego driven. If somebody else is slacking a little bit, we're going to call them on it. If somebody else does something that's emotionally unintelligent, call them out on it. A whole team can get better in a 20-minute conversation or an hour conversation about which of these is their weakest, and then putting it out there and letting people coach them, that can change everything. So just because you have employees that aren't 3 for 3 doesn't mean you can't get there. But if you really spend time on it and you really help somebody and they just never get there, that's probably a good reason to go, maybe that's the 1 of 5 that I need to replace.
Right. And we're talking about this anecdotally. I want to encourage anyone who's listening to this that would say, like, I want to go deeper. The book, The Ideal Team Player, incredible amount of depth. We have a self-assessment in there and a manager's assessment to help you.
There's lots of tools, more tools in that book than anything we've ever written.
Right. And even your TED Talk, I will say that in a short amount, 13 minutes, 14 minutes, whatever it is, you go through the entire model and you give people that tool, the self-assessment tool to say, the self-ranking exercise rather, to say, hey, try this, do this with your friends, do it with your family, do it with your teammates at work, and see how we can coach each other up around this.
And you know, we talk about the ministry of management and loving on people, and we've talked about a lot these last few months. Think about what it's like when you can help an employee who wasn't very hardworking to become harder working, or somebody that lacked humility, that you could say, you know, people don't like that, and they can become that. Or when they lack emotional intelligence. I mean, what a gift it is to give somebody that self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And even the acceptance of saying, I'm going to help you get better at this. People look back and say, hey, that's the best thing anybody did in my life. It saved my marriage. It saved my family. So many people read this stuff and they go, this applies to me at home. So definitely don't deprive yourself or others of the gift of improving in these areas. Now, let's talk about job seekers.
That's right. The people who are out there maybe didn't have a job prior to this, maybe lost their job in the midst of this.
Yep.
But anyone who, and even graduates who are just...
Oh, if you know somebody graduating from school, this is a great thing to go over with them. If you have a child that's a son or a daughter that's looking for work, just let them know that, hey, first and foremost, figure out which of these areas you can get better on and give them feedback as a parent and say, I want to help you. And I think this is an area you need to improve on.
And I think the good news, like the headline good news is, you, a business consultant, author, leader, on leadership, teamwork, all of that.
Just an amazing, well-rounded guy.
Exactly. I forgot that part. But I've heard you say, I would take a group of community college graduates or high school graduates who are humble, hungry, and smart over anyone who went to the best schools who didn't have these qualities.
Every time. And I think every other manager would too. We've all hired people from great schools that either didn't have these skills or they seemed entitled. And then you'd hired somebody from a bootstrapper school that had all these things and they outperform every time.
Right.
And we know that, but we just need a lexicon. We need to know, like, what was it? Oh, it's humble, hungry, smart. Those are the three things. So if you're a recent college grad or you're getting ready to graduate or you are looking for a job, figure out which of these you're best at and worst at. Work on the things and go to your interview and say, you know what you're going to get in me? I'm not going to be about myself. I'm low maintenance. It's all about others. So I'm not going to be calling. You're not going to worry about me being ego driven. Mm-hmm. You're never going to have to ask me to work harder because I'll go above and beyond. And I am really going to be aware of how my words and actions affect others. And I'm going to be constantly checking in with people to make sure that works. If you're in high, if you're in a hiring manager, you're going to be like, I want this person to work
absolutely
for me. As opposed to, I did this one class and I can, I know how to use, you know, Microsoft Excel. It's like, yeah, but you might be a dickhead.
Right.
You know?
You know, I think the reason I get so passionate about this book and this content is because I wish I read this book when when I was 16 or 17. I wish coming out of college, I would have heard this podcast because I felt like for the longest time, like, oh yeah, my resume is not the most impressive one. I didn't go to the best school. You know, I studied this sort of niche thing. And then I would go in and I was convinced that I could help all these companies I was interviewing with. And over and over again, I got dismissed based on technical skills.
Right.
And if I had had this and had the hope of like, hey, there are people out there and there are organizations out there that value these things as much as any technical skill, I think it would have done just wonders for me.
In fact, I want to say to the people listening to this right now, tell any college grad or anybody looking for a job, but think about all the people I know who are college grads, say, hey, listen to this interview, because I think it could make a huge difference. If I had known this, when I got out of school, it was all about, oh, where did you, what classes did you take? What was your GPA? What clubs were you in? Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is, those things count for less and less and less these days. People are giving people more responsibility earlier on and they want to know you can handle it. You're going to be a good person to work with.
Right. And I'm really glad that you changed smart to emotional intelligence. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. So,
no. Well, this is the interesting thing. It's like, I don't care how much a person knows. You know, there's a saying, nobody cares how much you know unless they know how much you care. But that's right. A different thing. That's true too. But I will always take somebody who's good with people over somebody who's got just raw intelligence. Because mm-hmm. you can teach people to figure things out. You can't teach them how to treat people better.
That's right.
So that's what this is about. Hiring and letting people go and interviewing and finding jobs. Humble, hungry, and smart are more important than anything else. And if you commit to those in your hiring, and if you commit to that in your job search and developing it in yourselves, everything gets a lot easier. And if enough people do this, the economy gets better too. Man, I just want companies to just start hiring more people and putting them to work. And also, I want to encourage people to go out and buy things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were like, we were thinking about buying a car, maybe we should wait. Let's all take a hit for the rest of the economy and go out and get businesses going.
Let's lean in. Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that we just want to end on that note. Let's get back to work. Let's turn this around. God bless all those people out there suffering because they don't have a job and they're worried about that. But that's all we have for today. So God bless everybody.